we discussed from 16th chapter to Bhagavad Gita today. The 16th chapter is entitled as the divine and demoniac nature. Daiva Asura Sampad Vibhaga Yoga. That is the name in the Sanskrit language. So, 16th chapter, first three verses describe the divine nature. Those who have godly qualities, what those godly qualities are described in the first three verses. And then from then onwards, in the fourth verse to the 24th verse, Krishna describes the demoniac qualities. So, we will discuss from one section from there. So let's start from verse 7 and we'll try to cover to verse 14 today, if time allows. So, in the 16 chapter, verse 7. Can you tell the page number?
749.
So I will recite the verse, you can follow me, and then one of you will read the translation, then I'll discuss a little bit. And then we go for as many verses as time allows. So from the 7th verse, Lord Krishna starts describing the symptoms. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha Janana vidurasuraha Shaucham napi chacharo Satyam teshu vidyate. The scripture is meant to be like a mirror with which we can look at ourselves. Generally, when we dress, when we are dressing ourselves, we don't know how we look. That's why we go in front of a mirror. So, but that is, that physical mirror can only show us our physical body, how it looks. But how do we look internally? What is the state of our mind, the state of our consciousness? So when we look at scripture, and the scripture reflects. So the scripture reflects not only on us, the scripture reflects on the world. And in this way, we can get a second perspective on scripture, on the world, and on our own lives through the means of scripture. So, this, in one sense, the scripture reflects what we see in the world, but it just doesn't reflect. It analyzes. When you see this in the world, this is what it implies. When you see this in the world, this is what it implies. So here, when Lord Krishna is talking about the demoniac nature, then he is describing the qualities. In our more current Indian society, especially after the liberalization about 15, 20 years ago, the westernization has spread very rapidly. And most people equate westernization with progress, with the development. So, yes, to some extent we can say we have got some high-tech facilities like cell phones, laptops, internet, which is not there. In fact, 25, 30 years ago, even television was not there so much. When India won the World Cup in 1983, at that time many of the matches were not even broadcast because India was a very insignificant team at that time. So, that way we can say technology has progressed tremendously. That is true. Technology has progressed, but has humanity progressed? That is the important question. We don't deny that technology has progressed. It has. But has the progress of technology led to human progress? We wonder, what is the difference between the two? Technology is progress, human will progress. We can move faster, we can communicate better. That's true. We can move faster, communicate better. But what about the qualities of the human being? Our life is determined not just by the gadgets that we have. Our life quality life, happiness, is also determined by the kind of quality that we are cultivating. If a person becomes, say, addicted to alcohol, he may have the best mobile, internet connection, laptops, but his addiction to alcohol is going to destroy him. So, yes, technology can facilitate life to some extent, but we should not unthinkingly, uncritically, unquestioningly equate technological progress with human progress. Human progress means human quality should improve. So here Lord Krishna talks about the demonian, and as we look at these verses, we will see that many of the qualities that Lord Krishna is describing are evident in the people around us. The first thing he says is pravrittim cha nivrittim cha jana na vidura asura. Asura means the demonian people. So the word asura has many meanings. Ra comes from the word ramate, enjoyment. Ashu means quickly. So those who want quick enjoyment, they are called as asura. So asu is also referring to the body. Ra means enjoyment. So those who want to enjoy the body, they are also called asuras. So we shouldn't think of asuras as some strange, frightening beings with teeth coming out of their mouth and some horns coming out of the head. Yeah, there are many creatures like that also. But that physical form is not the defining characteristic of a demon. The defining characteristic of demon is the quality. That's why we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj was born to a demoniac father, but he's not considered a demon because he had different qualities. So that's why the Bhagavad Gita doesn't go into superstitions. And when we talk about divine and demoniac, Krishna is not going to describe, oh, how beautiful the demonic divine people look and how frightening the demonic people look. But still, the quality is. So first thing is, now, how do you know what quality the person has? The qualities are expressed as the behavior. If somebody is very proud, how can we know that person is proud? He is always talking about himself. Whenever somebody else starts talking about him, that person, then somebody else starts talking about himself, he interrupts and says, oh, I did like this. So egoist. So pride is expressed through the behavior. Everyone is always talking about oneself like that. All qualities are expressed through the behavior. So Lord Krishna says, okay, what is the behavior of a person? Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha. Pravritti means what to do and what not to do. Nivrittim cha. Jana na vidur. Jana means people. Vidur, they don't know. Such people don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. And we see this great confusion pervading our society, which unfortunately is celebrated as freedom. What is pervading society is confusion, but confusion is celebrated as freedom. What is the confusion? People think that the Indian culture is very restricted, that we cannot have free mixing between boys and girls. If you go to software companies, people say that we should have little relationships. Man and woman should live together without any marriage. Or they want to have homosexual relationships. And they want to do all sorts of things which would have been unthinkable even a few years ago. And what's wrong with it? It's our life. What we want, we can do with it. Yes, it's our life. We can do whatever we want with it. But the important thing is, not that we can't do what we want. The point is, are we aware of the consequences of doing what we want? Freedom, if you remember the civics of the political science study, always in the constitution there are rights and there are duties or responsibilities. So yes, people want the right to freedom, which is fine. But the right to freedom has to be accompanied by the willingness to bear the consequences. Now, in the West, where people have practically complete freedom, people can just mix together. What is the situation? Situation, as many of you are aware, is that most marriages end in divorce. For example, Europe, in many countries in Europe, almost the whole European Union, is what is called a welfare state. Welfare state means if a person is not able to get a job of his liking, and the state considers that because he is our citizen, it is our responsibility to maintain or her. And therefore the state pays some allowance for the person to maintain it. But because of the pre-Vixit culture, the many young girls become pregnant. And if they don't do abortion, if they do abortion, they are actually committing murder. Why? Because till 40-50 years ago, people could, on one side, the social norms were determined by religion. On the other side, technology was not very advanced. So, if people wanted, they could just call abortion as a substitution removal. But now, photographs of the womb taken using the latest technology show actually that the embryo is a living person. And then the device supposed to kill the child comes in from the penis of the mother to the pregnant woman. So the child is a small embryo, the womb is like a small one. And he sees the coming, the child senses the threat. And he moves as far away as possible. And then the doctor basically, in abortion, there are many ways of doing abortion, but the most common way is they catch and actually crush the child with a clamp sort of device. And then they take the fragments off. So when the clamp is coming towards the head, because the head is the largest part of the embryo, so when the child is coming to the child, it's first of all, then the embryo comes again. And then you can see actually in the video, there's a video made, the first there are many videos made on this. The first was a video made by Dr. Nat Thorne. He was himself an abortionist. But when this technology developed and he saw this, that documentary is called Silent Scream. The child is screaming, but because the vocal cord now developed, he can't hear the scream. Silent scream. So, when he saw the documentary, he not only gave up abortion, he became a campaigner against abortion. And he said, our society is accountable for the cold-blooded murder of its children in the womb using the latest technology. So basically, so many children are just killed because of the latest technology. It's not because of the technology, but the technology facilitates killing. What is causing that? The causing of the killing is the uncontrolled nature of people. So now, some women may decide that we don't want to go in for abortion, whatever be the reason. Abortion is murder. But there are many people who say, we have fear. It's my life. And I don't want to have a child. So I won't have a child. I'll abort my life. Fine. If you don't want to have a child, then don't become pregnant. Don't abuse your body. But if we abuse the body, if we beget a child, now what about the freedom to live of the child? One of the doctors in the hospital, he was himself an anti-abortionist. When he saw the documentary, then he realized what he was doing. He became an anti-abortionist campaign. And what he does is, many of the ladies who come to him for abortion, he stops them. After he stops them, they deliver the child. And then when he goes for seminar against corruption, abortion, he takes the mother. And along with the mother, he takes the child. This was the child who was going to be aborted. How could we kill him? So in the name of freedom, people going for cold-blooded murder. But sometimes the woman decides, I will have my child. Now, if the woman is very young, 18, 20 years old, in India, it becomes a very great social stigma. But in the West, it's not like that. But even if it's not a social stigma, still it's a financial problem. The woman cannot go for a job. If she's studying, she cannot study. So what the European Union government decided is that we will give some special allowance to single mothers. That's the phrase that they use. For women who are not married and who get pregnant. So a single mother, we will give special allowance for it. Now, the objective of the government was what? So that these children, otherwise what happens? The children get sometimes abandoned, they're dumped in a garbage heap, or they're thrown away, or they have to go to orphanage. So in order to avoid that, the government decided to give special allowance to single mothers. But now, what happens is, now see, this single mother is going to a college. And there are other girls who are going to the college. So, now the other girls, probably their parents have to pay for their education, or they have to do a part-time job for the education. The single mother doesn't have to do anything. She just gets along with the government for her education. She has a living even without doing a job. So from the financial point of view, being a single mother is more convenient being a cheese girl. So many women just prefer to get themselves pregnant and have a mother just with a lot, have a child to be created alone. So can you imagine what kind of chaos goes on in society? So Prabhupada, Janana Vidurastha. What is to be done, what is not to be done? There is no knowledge. Na shaucham, na pichacharo. Shaucham means cleanliness. So cleanliness physically itself. When the Europeans came to India, one of the things that they observed, many of you have been knowing about Mohenjo-daro, Harappa. So one of the characteristics of Mohenjo-daro and Harappa, the giant baths. You know, there are bathing huts with steps to go down. So there are private baths outside the houses and there are public baths. And from the Western point of view, this was a sign of great civilization. Why? Because in the Western civilization, bathing as a regular activity is a very recent development. And some places are not even a development. Now, for example, there's a famous Italian king. He had a huge palace. And in that palace, interesting enough, there are no bathrooms and toilets. So when he would have to respond to nature, he would just go behind the curtains and do his business, and the servants would come and clean it. Anywhere he would go. Imagine the kind of.
This is not just a value judgment, this is historically documented fact.
Even now they are, tourists go to their palace, which is no toilet over there, no bathroom over there. So, cleanliness, something which is very much absent in Western society. Although, interestingly, externally, Western society appears much cleaner than Indian society. You know, if you go to Western airports or Western shops, or even if you go to Westernized, industrial complexes, they will appear very clean. But that cleanliness is only so that they can do their business better. They are not physically clean, and of course they are not internally clean. That is, na shaucha na picha acharo. Cha achar, achar means behavior. So, people don't know how to behave with each other. So, what does that mean? You don't know how to behave with each other? Many of you may be aware that this World Cup was going on. There was some model who said that if India wins the World Cup, I will bear myself for the pleasure of the Indian cricket. Now, this is such a perverted idea. And our logic was that I am a lover of my country and I am a lover of cricket. And for the love of my cricket, I am ready to do anything. And if you are ready to do anything, say, okay, if a person bears herself, what is that? What is the consequence of that? If a woman does not wear proper clothes, you see what happens in the minds of people, other people. Does that bring the noble nature out of them, or does that bring out the devilish nature out of them? So, if somebody loves one's country, if somebody loves one's, why do you want to bring out the devilish nature out of them? And it has become such a big media hype. And so the point is that na cha cha. You don't know what is the right, what is the wrong. Okay, it's just enjoyment. Yeah, it's enjoyment. But that enjoyment brings out the demoniac side of people. If you see here, some of our devotees were saying in Delhi, actually Delhi, one of the biggest problems is rape of innocent women. Women are afraid to walk on the streets, especially alone. So suddenly a car might come and drag them in, and it's not just Delhi, many places like that. Why is that? Now women may say that men are so uncontrolled. Yes, it is true, men are uncontrolled. But women also have a part in it. You know, when women dress themselves very provocatively, then what happens? See, unfortunately, men are, in our society today, you know, a man's social esteem comes from his ability to attract the opposite. Now how many, is a girl attracted to me? Do I have girlfriends? Then a person is respected in society. And a woman is trained to, a woman considers her self-esteem comes from being a sex object. Now how many heads can you make turn when you walk? It's vulgar ideas. So unfortunately, even what's wrong, you know, they are enjoying. But for the same people, just think what would happen 30 years later. When that woman's physical beauty goes away, No, heads are going to turn towards it. And then what self-worth, what self-esteem is going to be there for? On the other hand, if a woman is trained to be like a mother, now, a woman can offer motherly love at all ages. And so, those women who delight in being sex symbols for others, especially when they grow old, it's hellish for them. There are many Hollywood actresses who just, disappeared, and some of them committed suicide, some of them just went away into seclusion, because when they saw their beauty fading away, when a person comes in the midst of others and creates a sensation around others, then when later on the same person comes and nobody takes notice, it's worse than death. You can't already. So, on the same way, if a man is always interested in attracting women, okay, he's also going to grow old, he's also going to not be so attractive, he loses that capacity. So, if you don't know how to behave, so women are not meant to be sex objects, women are meant to be mothers. And men are not meant to be hunters looking for women. Men are meant to be protectors. Protectors of women, protectors of children, protectors of society. So the values are completely skewed. Unfortunately, this distortion of values is called as progress. Not progress, it's actually regress. So unfortunately the televisions often show us only the rosy side of Western society. The premixing, the so-called enjoyment. But along with the enjoyment comes the consequences. The consequences can be divorce or marital discord, or it can be alienation with next generation children. Or it can, as the as bad as AIDS and other diseases, it can go over a wide variety of situations. And many, one of the fastest growing Christian churches in the West is called the Latter-day Saints or Mormons. And why they are popular is because they emphasize family values. Because now India people don't want to get married, they want to have a good relationship. Even if they have a marriage, they also like to have pre-marital, extramarital relationship. But in the West, people are turning back towards family values. Because your family is a chaos. So actually, in the Vedic culture, there are some brahmacharis, some sannyasis, but actually the brahmacharis and sannyasis, they strengthen the family culture. Can you guess how? No matter, actually if you become brahmachari, then you are also your family. See, the family culture is strengthened if the family is God-centered. If the husband is self-controlled, if the woman is submissive, then the family culture is strong. You see, although India has, the Vedic culture, is along with Buddhism, is the only culture which has large number of celibates. But yet, you see, the Vedic culture, traditionally, there are very, very few divorces as compared to the West. Why is that? It's because, the renounced order sets the example of detachment. And the whole society follows that example. Detachment does not mean responsibility. The husband and the wife, if both of them are detached from the worldly propaganda, from worldly prosperity, then they can live together. If the husband is attached, then if in his office he finds a more good-looking woman, this goes with her. If the wife is attached, if you think that in her office there is some other man who is more wealthy and who can offer her better, she'll go away. So detached does not mean irresponsible. Detached means beautiful. Actually, to be beautiful, one has to be detached from everything that takes us away from our beauty. Therefore, Shaucham na vichacharo na satyam deshyate. There is no truthfulness. No truthfulness. See, even if we look at cricket itself, there are cricketers who did match fixing, and those same cricketers have now become politicians, and people have voted for them and elected them. what more hypocrisy can be there? A person who has been found to be corrupt, has been banned for corruption, and he is elected as a politician. So, politicians are one who shake your hand before the election and they shake your confidence after the election. So, temptation, no truthfulness. history, according to the Swiss bank release, India is the wealthiest country in the world. Why is India the wealthiest? Well, India has the maximum black money in the Swiss bank. In fact, the money that India has deposited in the black bank, in the Swiss bank, is more than what all the other countries together have deposited. And if that money would be brought back, you know, practically poverty would be eradicated from India. So, it's an illusion to say that India is poor. India is not poor. India is corrupt. And what is the cause of corruption? That will come in the next verses. So now, Krishna, first Krishna, what Krishna talks about? The behavior. Then he goes deeper. What is the cause of such behavior? That he describes. But man, we can say, okay, the behavior is the expression of the qualities. But what causes such qualities? That he describes in the next verse. Asatyam apratishtham te jagadahuranishwaram aparasparasam bhutam kimanyat kama haitukam.
This says that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no body control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust.
Asatyam apratishthante. This is the atheistic worldview. So where is this cross materialism and hedonism stemming from? It stems from atheism. If there is no God, then there is no moral demand on me. Moral demand means
that behave like this.
Yeah. You don't behave. There is no God, there is no morality. Then I can do whatever I want. So that so-called freedom for ungodly or immoral behavior can come when one rejects God. So the worldview of these people is jagadahur anishwaram. There is no Ishwar. There is no God in control of this world. It is a documented fact in Western history that even the West, you know, Christianity was there, somewhat in the West, and morality was there. As Christianity got rejected through a series of pseudo intellectuals, what happened was, and there was a Viennese psychologist, Sigmund Freud, who in his childhood, he was a perverted genius. In his childhood, he had sexual attraction towards his mother. Horrible. You can't think of such things. But he had an attraction. And obviously, he couldn't express that. So later on, when he became older, he made his own theory. Because as people were giving up social norms, social regulations, he was more and more mentally disturbed. So he came up with this theory that actually everybody in their childhood is sexually attracted to their, if his male is attracted to his mother, and if it is a female, is attracted to his father. And they called it the Oedipus complex and the Viagra complex. And he said, because of this repression of natural sexual attraction, people get mental problems. And you know, people just want this, everybody wants freedom.
But freedom leads to freedom.
He didn't realize that. You know, eventually he himself died of terrible cancer, and towards the end, he realized that what he was speaking was wrong. But by that time, a pandemonium had started. And so his idea was all relationships are based on sex. And he said, kimanyat kama haitukam. What other purpose of life is there than kama? There's no other purpose. Everything is meant for sex. Now, at one level, it is true that actually sex motivates practically everything in the material world. But in a civilized human society, the drive, sexual drive is regulated and expressed in a civilized way. But to say that actually there should be freedom, and this is a scientist, he came up with a field of psychoanalysis for psychoanalysis. And through that, he actually, if he has some mental problem, he remember. You know, people will go to him, very famous psychoanalyst, people will remember in your childhood, did you ever have any attraction to your mother? The person will be shocked. What? You never have thought of like this. No, that is the cause of this. Just try to remember. And people would people would go crazy because of it. So following him, some other psychologist came with the idea that actually, now all mental problems are because we are not expressing ourselves. Just express whatever is there in the mind. So at that time there were a lot of quarrels between the blacks and the whites. So they decided to do an experiment. Call the blacks and whites together and let both of them express their anger towards each other. And after the anger is expressed, then they will become calm. But what happened for the blacks and the whites came, there is an experiment of several hundreds of blacks and whites. And the blacks are blasting the whites, you know, you take all the money, you are so arrogant, you are so proud, you are this, that. And the whites are blasting the blacks. And what happened was, both of them realized how deep rooted is the hatred. How deep rooted? You think like this about me? I will show you. And practically speaking, rather than the emotions going out, the emotions would turn into action and both of them start beating each other. And then it's terribly wrong, it doesn't work. You know, actually, to some extent, we cannot see the minds of each other. And that is a great blessing. You know, if all of us could see the minds of each other, there could be no friendship possible. There could be no relationship possible. Isn't it? See, Srila Prabhupada very beautifully explains what is intelligence. He says that what is the genesis of our actions? How do our actions start? First there are thoughts, then there are desires, then there are intentions, and then there are actions. Thoughts, desires, intentions and actions. So, now for example somebody goes to a supermarket. Now everybody has greed within them, so anybody might get a thought of shoplifting. Okay, maybe I get a steal this thing. A thought comes in the mind. And then, if you just keep contemplation, what happens? Desire comes. Please, okay, can I do this? You know, I have a big pocket. I can put something in there. The desire comes. And then what happens? Okay, I think I can do it. Nobody is watching right now. And the intention. And then intention is the action. And, by the way, a person has strong activities. So, Srila Prabhupada explains that intelligence means to stop this chain of thought from going to action. Thoughts may come, but to kill the thoughts before they go into desire, intention, action, that is intelligence. When a person is in the adolescent age, every boy becomes sexually agitated. Now, if everybody started expressing, imagine, people want freedom, Western society is going to get freedom. Just imagine if the police went on strike for 1 hour. What do you think would happen in society? It was the most horrible 1 hour in human history. Anybody, people would go and destroy shops, men would attack women. Who knows, men will attack men also nowadays.
You know, the kind of society it is.
So, freedom, it seems a very attractive option, but freedom has always to be accompanied by some boundaries and regulation. And those boundaries come from the action. If those boundaries are not there, then there is total chaos. So, without intelligence, so what these psychologists theories they had is, see, one in a karma hai to come. Everybody is motivated by lust. So if you feel lust, just go and enjoy. Just go and enjoy. What are the consequences of that? Now, there can be pregnancy, there can be abortion, there can be AIDS. What about that? See, don't repress yourself. You just be natural. Well, if you want to be natural, but be completely natural. Be completely natural means, okay, nature allows a person to have sex, but nature doesn't produce contraceptives by itself. Why do we want to have artificial that part? So actually, the natural living, now very important point about the natural is it natural to be lusty? Well, yes and no. Yes in the sense that when we come to the teenage years, when we come to the adolescent age, the hormones start getting secreted in the body. And therefore, it's natural to feel some sexual stimulation. But we will see in our society that sexual stimulation is intentionally aggravated. It's intentionally aggravated through the way people dress, through the advertisements, through the holdings, through the commercials, through the movies, through the music. And if you are traveling in a train, and you go through the rural area, we are going through a long type of the hilly area, the monastery area, there is no agitation of the mind. And then as soon as we come into cities, this is addition of mind choice. So it's not that when the scriptures say we have to control ourselves, it's an unnatural repression of our natural desires. Rather, what our society has done is an unnatural aggravation of our desires. It's the opposite. Yes, there is a natural level of lust which comes up in the teenager, and a natural way to express it is to match. But what our modern society does is, it unnaturally aggravates those desires, and then it says, oh, why are you saying suppression? It's unnatural. Well, suppression is not unnatural, aggravation is unnatural. I hope the word aggravation is clear. Aggravation is to stimulate wildly, to make worse. Aggravation. So, nacha. Now, in the next verse, Lord Krishna will describe what happens. So, this is it all stems from what? Once we think that there is no God, then we can do whatever we want. Just express ourselves. When we express ourselves, we have to deal with the consequences. In the next verses, Lord Krishna describes further how such people live. What is Kama Mashi Dushpura? Sorry? Okay. So now Lord Krishna says, okay, once you reject God, then what happens? Etam drishti navashtabhya nashtat mano alpa buddhayaha brahanti ugra karmanaha shayaya jadato hitaha.
Who are lost
themselves and who have no intelligence, engage in unbeneficial, horrible work, need to destroy the world. So, etam drishti, this vision that somebody accepts, what is the vision? That there is no God, this world is meant just for enjoyment. Nashtatma, first thing is spiritually lost. So the soul cannot express, one cannot realize that it is spiritually, one is constantly sensually agitated and active. So, nashtatma, no. I don't care about the soul. I'll focus. So, person is very less intelligent. Very intelligent. Why? Prabhavanti ugra karmana. So, person does horrible work and calls that ugra karma as progress. Flourishes in prabhavanti. Prabhavanti means to flourish. Kshaya. Kshaya means destroy. Jagato ahitaha. So, the progress that they do is actually the cause of destruction. Now, the classic example of this unfortunate consequence of materialism is Albert Einstein. Now, Einstein was considered to be the greatest intellectual of the 20th century. To some extent, he is. And the greatest discovery that he came up with is, can you simply express as E is equal to mc squared, the interchangeability of energy and matter. Prior to him, there was a law of conservation of energy. Now, it's not just conservation of energy, conservation of energy and matter. Now, the greatest discovery or the greatest postulation, the greatest theoretical insight, which the greatest scientist of the last century gave, became the cause of the greatest disaster of the last century. If E is equal to mc squared had not been proposed, there would have been no Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There would have been no atom bombs. So actually, Einstein himself went, you know, after the Japan surrendered, USA sent some relief. You know, USA always does the patchwork. First destroy, and then for cosmetic purpose send some relief. That's what they do. In Afghanistan they drop bombs, and then they drop some sandwiches. The same place came and dropped sandwiches. So how is the poor Afghanic fellow which is like you going to drop bombs and still going to drop sandwiches? So, they say, they send some assistance also. And then Einstein saw the relaxation that had occurred. He broke down into tears. And he said, till the last day of my life, I regret the day when I sent a letter to the American president proposing that in America should develop nuclear weapons, and I gave that action. How would you do that? So, you know, technology is not bad, scientific invention is not bad, but if there is a godless framework in its design, it is disastrous. So, prabhavanti ugra karmana. So, the progress of science led to ugra karma. Now, you know, at our temple, when we had Janmashtami, at that time the police had come. and we are used to it. So the police were telling us that nowadays we have such technology that one small mobile, now earlier they had these bombs which destroyed, which caused explosion. But now the latest thing is chemical weapons. So he said one small mobile can contain chemicals or germs, you know, which can spread poison over an area of 6 miles when it explodes. And you know, what it will do is, just throw poisonous gas or poisonous germs. And people around 6 miles either die or they die. Just by inhaling that gas and germs. So, Prabhavanti Pumukula Karma. See, the Vedic culture also has technology. This Brahmastra was there. But the Brahmastra was so precise that even when a demoniac person like Ashwatthama wanted to send the Brahmastra, she could use it to kill only the womb, child in Uttara's womb and not for Uttara also. But today what happens, people are uncontrolled and they have weapons which are also uncontrolled. You know, one weapon, it can kill thousands of people. You can't have a bomb which explodes and kills only one person. It is hundreds of people around it. That's a prabhavanti kukra karmana shyanishyodha. It's horrible and beneficial work. So, this whole chapter will go on now, but we will focus on the important theme over here. In the start of the chapter, Krishna talks about the divine qualities. Here he is talking about the demoniac qualities. And he will describe the consequences of demoniac loving. And he concludes this chapter at it's not that, as I said, it's not that demons are somewhere living on some other planet. Yes, they are living on some other planet. But the demoniac tendency is there in our own heart also. For their qualities. So, all of us have a divine nature and a demoniac nature. Now, the trivial challenge is, see, the glory of Vedic civilization was how to bring out the divine nature and how to outlaw and destroy the demoniac nature. That is the glory of Vedic culture. But what is the glory of, what is considered the success of Western culture? How to bring out the demoniac nature? Actually, in the modern society, if Ramayana is replayed, many people will consider Ravana to be a hero. Because Ravana enjoyed so many women. And Hanuman is considered so bad. Old fashioned person, no? First of all, being a celibate, not enjoying at all. And then, this working for somebody else. So foolish. But actually, there is whole, in South India there is one committee, it is called RPC. Or the Ravana Protection Committee.
It's a real organization. Ravana is already there, they want to protect him.
But what is their idea? The role models are so skewed. You see, who are today's role models in society? The film stars, the movie stars. They are all people who are what? There are so many publicly extramarital, premarital connections. And now, nowadays, to increase the spice, the cricket world, see, the cricket is a great attraction or distraction in India, and Bollywood is a great attraction and distraction. Now they are merging the two. So that people get so terribly caught in time. And so people, you know, just whatever little spirituality is there, that is also wastewater. And because the materialistic propaganda is so much. But the important thing is that if you understand our intelligence, what the demonic quality means. Demonic quality leads to chaos individually and chaos functionally. Then we can check our intelligence. And we can develop the divine qualities within us. And the way to develop the divine qualities is described actually Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is not just some chanting Hare Krishna mantra, going to some kirtan, some pravachan. It was a nice thing to do. I am a Hindu and the tradition to do it. That's not the purpose, it's a science. The science will bring out the noble side within us. And if you chant Hare Krishna, if you practice Krishna consciousness, you will see this that way. The lower nature, the demoniac nature will start going, will start coming under control and will start going out of our consciousness. And the divine nature will start coming out. And as it happens more and more, then actually we will be able to contribute to our own career, our own life, to contribute to society as a whole. So that's why the Bhagavad Krishna concludes, or Krishna concludes this chapter by saying that if you want to save ourselves from the demoniac nature and develop the divine nature, what is the way? This is the last verse of the chapter. Tasmat shastram pramanante karya karya prasthita. jatva shastra lokam karma karma viharasi. Therefore, understand on shastra what is to be done and what is not to be done. See, it's a very beautiful correspondence. The 16 points that Krishna says, that demoniac people don't know what is to do then and what is not to be done. Therefore, Krishna says, know from scripture what is to be done and what is not to be done. And you act accordingly, karma kartu viharasi. Then you will attain success, you will attain perfection in our lives. The scriptures primarily tell us that this particular age is to channel Hare Krishna. And the holy name has tremendous power. The material propaganda is very powerful, our own material desire is very powerful. But we can all be overpowered by the supreme power of God manifesting in our life. And yes, we cannot stop the rains when they come, but we can carry an umbrella. So we may not be able to stop the degradation that is happening in society, but we can save ourselves from being degraded. If we hold the umbrella of the holy name, and who knows, we show the example for many other people who are also intelligent, who will also be attracted. Because the propaganda of the West is superficial. It's like how it works. I have to prove this example. Now, when somebody drinks, what happens? That the person goes high. So he's very empowered. Although he has become, you know, his intelligence has been blown out, he feels very, very intelligent. He feels very, very powerful. He's very strong. So that he goes high. But after he goes high, what happens? Comes down. Next day when he wakes up, there's a big hangover. So, what is happening is the Western society, it went high with technology and sensuality and so-called freedom. Now it is experiencing the hangover. The Indian society is still experiencing the high only. The hangover is going to come. So, now what is happening is that the Western society, if we actually go into that, there are so many devotees in America who come and talk, and my own brother is in America. You know, the first day when he went to college, in the college, he went after his flight. The first day he went to college, the college gave him an iCard and a condo. Shocked!
He got after 12 years, about it.
He couldn't believe it. That's the way of living in the West. So, there they are experiencing the hangover. But the media is showing what?
Only the high,
only the intoxication. That's why it's misleading. But we know that high is always followed by the hangover. And if you don't want the hangover, you should not want artificial high. Vedic culture offers a true high by raising our consciousness, by developing our love. So to summarize, so I started by talking about how we discussed maybe 16.7, 8 and 9 today. So what is to be done, what not to be done? That is not known. People want freedom, but they don't realize the consequences of that freedom, which can range from diseases to divorces to social disasters. And then we discussed about how this heroism, cross materialism, stems from atheism. And atheism garnered science. So actually, to express all of one's desires will bring out the worst in one. Civilization, intelligence needs to regulate one's desires. So we don't have unnatural repression, rather we have unnatural aggravation in our society. So we save ourselves from that unnatural aggravation, then we'll find that self-restraint is to some extent natural. Is it a decent way to live? Is it a normal way to live? And lastly, we discussed about how the demoniac qualities are going to create chaos individually and socially. We can protect ourselves individually, and by our example, we protect others also. And the way to do that is the following speech. We shall also chant Hare Krishna and unify our consciousness to develop our love for Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Any first years? You only have questions? Actually, the thing in English, what you can know depends on what you know. What you can know depends on what you know. For example, if I just see some person and I see his hand, I won't see anything. When a doctor comes and sees them, hey, you've got anemia, you've got less blood, yeah, hemoglobin is less than you. How does he know? So what you can know depends on what you know. So the doctor has an educated vision. because they are educated Christians, they can see something which we cannot see. So like that, this is the scripture also. So the more we hear scripture, more we learn scripture, the more we will be able to see through scripture. So what we can know from scripture depends on what we already know. So many people, they keep the small Bhagavad Gita in the pocket in India. And they say, I know the Bhagavad Gita, I read the Bhagavad Gita. But basically, they are not able to see the Bhagavad Gita in life. Why? Because what we can know depends on what we know. That's why Srila Prabhupada has given the purpose. And although Srila Prabhupada has given the purpose, he also instituted a system by which we have regular classes. So therefore, when we hear more and more, then we can see more and more. And so, if we keep hearing classes regularly, and then study scripture, and try to see the world through the eye of scripture, then we'll see how scripture teaches. So many things that are very relevant, very practical, and visible in our scripture. Okay? Any other questions? Thank you very much. Srila Bhagavatam Kaki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda Ki, Sita Gaur Prayal Ki. Thank you.